Harper Perennial and Harper Audio present Clickbait, a novel by Holly Baxter, performed by Brittany Presley. For Edmund, who always asks the right questions. I'm afraid you'll have to take up art. Art is the only work open to people who can't get along with others and still want to be special. Alistair Gray, Lanark, A Life in Four Books. 1. I entered the year of my disgrace at Rockaway Beach. I was 35 and divorced for the worst reason, a reason that had imploded my career and the lives of pretty much everyone around me, a reason that had even made the newspapers. This was not good, especially for a reporter. The first thing they tell you when you begin your training is never to become the news. Together, Joe and I had saved toward the down payment on a brownstone in Brooklyn, where we hubristically imagined we'd deposit three healthy, glowing kids. It was a brownstone that existed only in our minds, a spacious stoop on which to enjoy our morning coffees, tall windows and dramatic doorways, palatial ceilings with cornices. We'd get one for a song in Brownsville. We'd volunteer for local initiatives. We'd feel conflicted about gentrification. It was the ethically dubious New York transplant dream. Then I embarrassed us both, irrevocably, on the world stage. We split the meager cash we'd accrued 50-50, the same way it went in, avoided divorce courts, filed for a quickie separation. An entire world, painstakingly built by two people, ended with all the ceremony of a two-pump fuck. Instead of taking my half of the cash and doing anything sensible with it, I'd gotten myself a mortgage on an ugly, salt-caked little place in a nondescript high-rise two blocks from the sea in Queens. On the fifth floor of six, I had a slice of an ocean view off to the left, only partially obscured by a down-at-the-heels bodega whose flashing sign perpetually announced, "Great Breakfast." The floors creaked incessantly, and although a realtor had promised hardwood floors underneath smoke-laden graying carpets, I hadn't bothered to pull them up to check. The kitchen was small but functional. Two bedrooms faced each other at the back, equally depressing, with once white walls. On the day I moved in, it was mid-February, peak season for a winter depression and desolate self-pity. Nobody was on the beach, not even lycra-clad joggers with branded water bottles or drug dealers who hadn't yet graduated to blacked-out SUVs. I unpacked at sunset and pretended to myself that I liked it. Why wouldn't I like it? A sliding door led out onto a worn, grimy rectangle of balcony that I soon realized blew sand and debris straight inside, with wind so freezing that it made me gasp. Below me, a pregnant woman passed by the building, in a coat that made her look like she was being eaten by a caterpillar. She stopped at the corner of the street for a moment and put a protective hand over her huge belly. I rolled my eyes like, "Yeah, we get it. You had sex recently." What if I leaned so far over the balcony I fell? I shook the flimsy-looking railing with its half-peeled white paint, and it shuddered a little. Maybe it was structurally unsound. Maybe one day I'd balance myself on it to yell bitter insults at pregnant passersby, lose my footing and plummet to the sidewalk below, smashing into 1,000 red watermelon pieces. Everyone who currently hated me would have to come to the funeral, and in death I'd be absolved of my sins. People would leave trite messages on my social media pages. "Gone too soon. Fly high, little bird." A little insensitive for someone who ended their life in pieces at the bottom of a tall building, but still. They'd memorialize my LinkedIn page. My mother's small-town friends, the type who get a grief boner every time someone dies and gives them something to talk about over dinner, would send her flowers for weeks. She'd find a new spot for each bouquet and tell my sister the house had never looked better. As I stood there contemplating the details of my own funeral with some satisfaction.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?